I was on the front porch, and I mentioned a few weeks ago that I was, it's my happy place. And I was given a sign that says, this is my happy place. And it hangs on my front porch now, right next to the porch swing. Although I do need padding on the porch swing, because that makes me kind of unhappy if I just sit on the wood. So I drag pillows out to sit on when I'm in my happy place. But I was sitting on the porch swing, and the girls come over, the grandgirls came over, and they were on the front porch, and it was time for Pap to be homeschooled. And so I went through a process of learning about clouds. And there were some clouds out, so I was learning about clouds. And as always, it took three teachers to one student, you know, to drive it home to this one student. It took three teachers, but they were teaching me what clouds, what basically the three categories of clouds are. And I found it somewhat interesting and a little bit, maybe I didn't remember these things, and maybe I don't need to remember what the simple clouds are called, but we were going through them. And so a little quiz this morning, you can bring the first picture up. And this cloud is what? Cumulus, right, a cumulus cloud. It's like kind of a puffy, a stacked, you know, just a puffy cloud, just this cotton-type looking cloud, right? That's a cumulus cloud. And then the next one up is what? It is a stratus. That's a stratus cloud. It's just like this big quilted blanket, as I was being taught, this big quilted blanket that goes over the whole sky. That's a stratus cloud. And the next cloud is what? The cirrus cloud, right? It's just this long, feathery, stringy thing that the strings across the sky. So the three types of clouds, the cumulus and the stratus and the cirrus clouds, are the three basically types of clouds that we see in our sky. But they went on to teach me that when you add the word nimbus to any one of those, you get something that's a storm, right? It's storm. It's a storm. A cumulus nimbus is there's a storm inside of that cloud. It can be any of those clouds. You can add a nimbus to it. And so I come up with the idea that maybe when I'm not in such a good mood, just call me Ed Nimbus, right? Or just, and I started to pick onto them, Ariana Nimbus or Pearl Nimbus. You know, when I can see that you're having a bad day, does that mean you have a nimbus in you? You're kind of I will lay out here and enjoy and see what the clouds look like until you put a nimbus in them, and then I head for the house. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but our nation's got a nimbus in it. We are a nation nimbus. We are the United States of America nimbus. There is a storm in our nation. Our nation is experiencing a storm like maybe no other. I know there has been other nimbuses, other storms in our nation. But for me, in my generation, in my growing up, this is one of the, I can sense most of the storm. I can sense the storm in our nation. Now, I was 10 years old when they come back from Vietnam. The guys that I expect from what I read in history that was a time of turmoil as well. But now as a 56-year-old grandfather, a 56-year-old husband and a dad and a person in the community, as an adult, there is definitely a storm going on in our country. And I don't know at times, how do I handle this storm? The storm of, and I can sit here for the next half an hour and just list the things that are storm clouds in our country. And at times, I don't know how to handle the raging storm in our country. I don't know how to handle some of the things that they want to drag up or push away or something they want to force or not force. I don't know how to handle those things at times. And so I have this list. I'm going to handle it First Amendment style. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to protest. I'm going to do because that's my right. And I'm going to handle this storm that's going on in our nation. I'm going to handle it First Amendment style. And then I think, well, that doesn't seem to work. Maybe I'll do Second Amendment style. I can do that. And then I process that and I think about that and I wonder who will be the first people to stand before me. And the Second Amendment tries to come alive in the situation. And I start to wrestle with what if that's the best way to handle the nimbus in our nation. And then I think maybe I'll just stay inside and look out the window. And maybe I'll just wait till it passes by. And then I won't have to deal with it anymore. Because it's got to go by. How many of us thought it would go by in the last year or the last 6 months or the last 10 months? It's not going by. It's not passing us by. So staying in my house and looking out the window doesn't seem viable to me. Just to look and see what's going on and just think, oh, it's going to go by. Don't worry about it. The sun's going to shine another day. I've been waiting for the sun to shine for 23 months. Maybe we could just stick our head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. We'll just stick our head in the sand. Don't worry about it. It doesn't affect this 10 square feet that I'm in. And so I'm just going to ignore it. Or maybe I have written on my notes, maybe I'll just become angry. Have you noticed how common the F word has become in our society? Enough. Enough. I'm getting so, you know why that is? Because we get so frustrated, we don't know what else to say. We get so frustrated that a whole stadium will start chanting that. You've got to be kidding me. Is that the best way to handle it? Is that the best we got? Is it the best we got to be angry and just start chanting the F word? And I'm not talking forgiven either. We're better than that. So I wrestle with what I'm supposed to do. I'm wrestling with what I'm supposed to help others do as they face the nimbus in our nation. So what do we do? How do we do that? How do we get through this? Or how do we make a difference in the storm clouds that are brewing and are dumping on us in this nation? Maybe we could just kind of convince ourselves, well, at least we're better off than nation 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. That just seems to be falling short as well. God, I don't think put me in this point in history to bury my head. He didn't put me in this point of history just to protest, which I know is my right. He didn't put me in this point of history just to have Second Amendment strapped to my sides, although I can do that. He didn't put me in this point of history just so I can be part of the chanting in a football stadium. He didn't put me in this point just so I could bury my head in the sand. He didn't put me here in this point of history just so I could look out the window and say, oh, I hope it passes. He didn't put me in this point of history just to point around all the other nations of our world that are much worse off than we are. He did not put me in this point in history for those reasons. I can't believe that God does that. And I will not believe that God has put me here just for those reasons. There's got to be a bigger reason that God has put me here, you here, in this point of this rain cloud, this nimbus cloud that is over our nation. Psalm 115 is a psalm and the nation of Israel is in turmoil. The nation has a nimbus in it. And as I was processing this and thinking, God, how do I do this? How do I answer the phone calls? How do I give the counsel? What do I do, God? What do I do? What do I do when it comes time for people to say, hey, Ed, get your guns. Okay. Or, hey, Ed, stay inside. It's raining again. God, I need more than that. And as I processed and as I thought about that, I come to Psalm 115, which is a psalm about a nation that's in a nimbus. There's a storm cloud in the nation, and the psalmist is written this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it became a song, I think, that they would sing. And they would sing over and over and over them to remind them what to do when the nation is in a nimbus. Psalm 115, verse 1 says this, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because you of your love and your faithfulness." It's not about us. It's not about us. As I read through that, I said, "God, help me know that it's not about me. Help me know that it's not about me, God, that I'm not going to bring a resolution to this situation. God, I'm not going to be the one who brings the complete answer. I'm not going to be the one who has all the answers. It's not about us. It's not to us, God. We're not looking to rise up. We're not looking to build a militant army. We're not looking to do that. It's not about us, God." You know what that says to me? We're not the solution that this nation needs. God is the need. Is the solution. And he said, "You got to start with that. That I'm going to ask you to do some things. And I'm going to ask you to take a risk. And I'm going to ask you to push forward. And I may ask you to do the other things that you're talking about. I may ask you to do those things. But you got to know I am the one who is leading you forward. It's not about you. It's not about the people. It's about my glory being exalted." Not asking God to do something because I want it easier. And these are my own convictions. God, I'm not asking you to do something just to make my life easier. God, I'm not asking you to do something just so it can be the way it was. If I hear, "Are we ever going to get back to normal again?" I'm just going to have a continuous vomit. Just so you know, we're not going back to normal. And God says, "That's not even what will that stop being your motivation? Will that stop being your motivation that you want it easier? Will that stop being your motivation that you want it the way it was? Will that you stop having your motivation as you deal with this nimbus that you want life more comfortable? You want the comfortable situation? It's not about that. It's about me. And it's about my glory being lifted high. It's about me going, being exalted among the people." Number one, ask God to move in love and faithfulness so others will see him in the nimbus. You want to know what to do? Listen, I believe with all my heart and I'm doing this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And whatever God gets done with me after we do these things, then I want to do as he moves me. But look at the bottom. Maybe we spend more time asking God to remove the nimbus rather than to move in the nimbus. Are you with me this morning? I'm surprised at how a nimbus can really, really rear up the ugliness of mankind. We're fighting over things that I can't even imagine. I know it doesn't take much for people to fight. You can fight over which way you blow your grass into someone else's lawn. We're very volatile people. And God says, you're the volatile people. You're not going to bring a solution to this. I'm going to bring the solution to this. It's not about your comfort. It's not about the way it was. It's not about those things. It's about me. Will you stop asking me to remove the nimbus and start asking me to move in the nimbus? Will you start asking me to move in love and faithfulness so that others will see him in the nimbus? Have you gone to the end of your street? I want to challenge us all to go to the end of our street. And I say, in Jesus' name, move on this street. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you go out the end of your road and say, in Jesus' name, move on this street. Move on this road. In Jesus' name, will you do that? Will you stop on the highway and pull over and say, God, in Jesus' name, we're going to move on this highway. I want you to move in love. I want you to move in faithfulness. I want your glory to be lifted high, God, because I want you to move in the nimbus. Don't remove the nimbus, but move in the nimbus. When will we do that? When will I do that? And I almost brought a mirror this morning just so I could preach to myself this morning. And say, God, this is what I want. I'm going to ask you, God. I'm going to be on my knees. I'm not denying that there's a nimbus. I'm not just staying inside just until it passes away. I'm not getting my gun strapped on me. I'm not going and protest until I spend time in my prayer closet asking God to move in the nimbus. I wish we spent as much time in our prayer closet as we do on Facebook. Come on now. This nation would be different. Come on now.
Why in verses 2 and 3 he continues, why do the nations say, where is their God? And the answer is, our God's in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. The nations are saying, where's your God? And I think we start to buy into, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? We start to buy into the doubt and what they're trying to inundate us with, what the world's words of the world are trying to do to us. Hey, your God's not here. Where's your God? This nation is an uproar. This nation has got a nimbus. You got no God. And he said, this is your response. Our God's in heaven. You know what that means? In Isaiah it says this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know what God is doing right now? Do not let the words of the world place doubt in your soul. Our God reigns. And the more that gets deep inside of our soul, the more we're going to be in our closet and asking God to move in the nimbus. Don't remove the nimbus, God, move in the nimbus. Because we want your glory to be lifted high, God. We want your love to run rampant over this country. We want your faithfulness to be known by everybody on every corner, down Walnut Street in Texas and everywhere else in this world. Because our God reigns. The world's asking, where's your God? Our God is just fine. And he's reigning right now. And we cannot let the words of this world place a doubt in our minds, in our hearts, because if we do, we'll be only Second and First Amendment people. And God says, I've redeemed you for much more than that. Back to verse 2 and 3, he says this. Why do nations say, where is your God? Where is their God? Our God's in heaven. He's doing fine. He does whatever pleases him. You know, when I say that about a human, and when I first read that, I mean, well, that's not very nice, God. And God says, do you have any idea what pleases me? Will you zip it and just listen for a minute of what pleases me? Do you want me to do something that does not please me? Is that what you want? Or do you want me to do something that pleases me? Because you know what pleases me? In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. He wants everyone, anyone. He does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know what he's doing right now? You know what pleases God? You know what he's doing right now? Push the button. You know what he's doing right now? You know what he's doing right now? He's keeping his promises right this very moment. You know what else he's doing? He's forgiving people this very moment. People in this nimbus are experiencing the forgiveness of God right now. And that's why I want to ask God, not just to get down in the mouth, because God won't remove the nimbus. And God said, that's not what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to move in the nimbus because I am still on the throne. Don't let this nation, don't let the world convince you that I'm not in control and that I'm doing what pleases me. Because what pleases me is to keep my promises. What's pleasing me is to forgive you every single moment. What pleases me is to be patient with you and to give you victory step by step by step by step in your life. Put it back, please. You know what he's doing right now and what pleases God? Loving you pleases God. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, just being honest with you. It's not easy to love you. And God says, but I'm doing that because it pleases me. I love you, man. And I'm pouring out my grace onto you. And you get so distracted by the nimbus that you can't even feel my grace being poured over you. Will you just stop asking for me to remove the nimbus and start asking me to move in the nimbus? Because when I start moving in the nimbus, maybe the nimbus goes away, but it doesn't matter at that moment because God's moving in the nimbus and he's doing exactly what he pleases, and what he pleases is pouring out his grace. Number 3 is the Nimbus has not got God off his game plan. Are you with me? He's still doing what pleases him. No matter what's going on in Washington, know how many people, how many babies we're aborting, know how many people we're arguing with about our grass or our mask or our vaccination, for crying out loud. I'm just so sick of it. There's got to be more to do. And as another 1,050 rounds of ammunition arrived at my door this week, I was like, God, there's got to be more. And he said, you got to know that this Nimbus has not got me off my game plan. I'm doing exactly what I want to do right now. You're whining and complaining because you can't go here or there. You can't go in this restaurant, or you can't go here and they can go here, and you got to do this and over here. Guess what I'm doing? Exactly what pleases me. And what pleases me is I'm forgiving you right now. What pleases me is I'm pouring out my grace on you right now. God is doing exactly what pleases him. Look what verse 4 says. But their God idols are silver and gold made by the hands of man. The world is the one who should be concerned about where's their God. And sometimes I think the world thinks I'm off my rocker because I believe in a living God. And then I start thinking what they believe in, and I think I'm not the one off my rocker. They are. And he goes on to talk about that. Look at verse 5. He says this. They have mouths and cannot speak, and eyes and they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and noses but they can't even smell. They have hands and cannot feel, and feet but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound from their throat. He said, you take a piece of paper and you draw some sort of, what we think is a president, some sort of cartoon character on it. And you think this holds all kinds of power. I find it interesting that could get me 10 years in prison in this country. A God so powerful that we have to protect it. A God so powerful that we have to threaten people. Don't diss our God. The world said, don't diss our God. If you diss our God, we're going to throw you in prison for 10 years. Wow, that's a powerful God. A God that man has to protect its own God. For crying out loud, who's off the rocker? Says, where is my God? I'll tell you where my God is. My God reigns. You know what my God's doing right now? Everything he pleases. And what pleases him is he loves you. What pleases him is his grace is being poured out on you. What pleases him, he's forgiving you right now. He's doing it right now. And in spite of this Nimbus, don't ask me to move it. Ask me to move in it. Can't. 10 years. For a dollar? Look at verse 8, says, those who make them will be like them, and so will those who trust in them. You know what that means? That means you will become blind and deaf and mute and dead. Or we can remember that we have a living God. You become like you worship. We've said that multiple times here. You become like what you worship. And as we worship a living God, in spite of any nimbus, in spite of any trial, when we worship a living God, we become alive. We become like a living God. Why was Tobin struggling? Because the enemy wants to keep us dead. And when you release your worship,
to an all-powerful, sovereign, ruling, loving God, you start to become alive. And the enemy doesn't know how to deal with alive people. He needs to keep them dead because he can't deal with alive people. Number four, every day choose the living God over the gods who are blind, deaf, mute, and dead. Just so you know, this is what I'm doing in the Nimbus. And every morning I'm going to get up and say, God, I'm choosing you today. I'm choosing you today. Look what he says in verses 9 and 11. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. You know what that means, house of Israel? Ordinary people. Trust in God. He is your help and your shield. House of Aaron, trust in God. The religious people, as that's pointing to. You who fear the Lord, all the people who are walking in faith, trust God. Be confident in your God. Be bold in your God. Be secure in your God. Feel safe in your God. Listen, New Lifers, you got to stop. Stop. Fear is driving us crazy. You've got to know that you're safe in your God because you have a living God. Fear is a great motivator. It's just a horrible guide. If you don't believe that, get scared in the middle of the woods without a flashlight sometime and just start running. You will run exactly to the point of the first tree you encounter. And it'll knock your socks off. But it'll make you run. We need to trust in God. We need to feel safe in God. We need to let God and be bold in God. He is our help or our supply and of the things we need. You know what shield means? I love it because it also is used for the word of the scaly hide of a crocodile. And that's cool. God's going to put a scaly hide of a crocodile right over you. Trust in Him. He's going to give everything you need, and He's going to cover you with something that's impenetrable. But this is what I think we need to be doing. Invite others to trust God with you. Verses 12 and 13, as we move forward, it says this, the Lord remembers us. Isn't that beautiful? Right halfway through the psalm, he said, wait a minute, the Lord remembers us. We're not only remembering Him at this moment, guess what? In the middle of this moment, when I'm remembering God, God's remembering you. Isn't that beautiful? He's not distracted by any nimbus that's going on in our nation. He did not take His eyes off of you. He remembers you. He's looking at you. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. Oh, He'll bless the house of Israel. He's going to bless everybody. Oh, and He'll bless the house of Aaron. And He'll bless those who fear Him, small and great alike. Verse 14 says, may the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. This omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnibenevolent God is doing a work right now. And we can ask Him to bless us. Whether we have the nimbus gone or not, God will bless us. God, and it means to give us more and more and more and more and more. The living God is doing what He pleases. You know what pleases Him? Giving you more and more and more. More strength and more peace and more love and more power and more wisdom and more steadfastness. steadfastness and more healing and more soul healing. He pleases Him to give you more. We can ask God to bless us and to give us more. Is He going to give us more of these dead idols? I don't know. And frankly, I would not trade this for more strength. I would not trade this for more healing. I would not trade this for more soul healing. I'm not trading this for more love or power or wisdom or steadfastness, because this can't give it to me. A living God can. Amen. And in the middle of your nimbus, personally, or the middle of your nation nimbus, I'm doing exactly what I please. And God says what pleases me is to bless you and to give you more. Amen. And I'm going to pour it out on you, and I'm going to pour it out on you, and I'm going to pour it out on you until you are filled with the full measure of God. Verses 15 and 16 says this: May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He's already given to man. I'm going to bless you. And He says this: I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you more, but I'm going to give you more of myself. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you more of Himself. He's going to give us more of His presence. He's going to give us more of His touch. He's going to give us more of the whisper in our ear. He's going to sing over us. He's going to sing over you. You know that? The Bible says He's going to sing over you. Everything is at His disposal. And if it's not at His disposal, He'll create it right now. He's already given us earth. And He says, guess what? That's a drop in the bucket compared to what I have to give. Do you understand that? Do I understand that? Maybe I need to go to the mirror this morning and say, do I understand that? Number six is, be bold in seeking a blessing from the living God. Just so you know, for the most part, Christians in this country attribute blessing to this. We're so wrong. And we're not near bold enough in our prayers. If we think, if we ask for God, if you can just give me maybe a bike with a flat tire, and then I can fix it, because maybe you would be more, I don't know if I can ask for two inflated tires on a bike or not. So I'll ask for less, and maybe God will give me, because I don't know if I really earned enough. I don't know if I really earned a bicycle with both inflated tires. So I just want, just give me one with a flat, and I'll work at it. God says, what kind of nut are you? Do you know what all I've given you already? And I give you all this before some... look what I gave you before you were my child. How much more do you think I would give you now that you're my child? We pray way too small and ask for God to bless us way too little. Verses 17 and 18, which ends this psalm, says this: it is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down into silence. It is we, the living. It is we that extol the Lord. And I can just hear this song. Whoa, stop! Stop the music! Oh, stop! Kaylee, stop! Oh, Mike, stop! Oh, stop. You gotta know, it's us who extol the Lord. We are alive! It's us who extol the Lord. It's us who praise the Lord. It's us who carry His praises from our lips to the heavenlies. You want to know what to do in the nimbus? Praise the Lord in the nimbus. Just start praising the Lord. See what happens. Listen to this song. I was sure by now, God, you have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. And once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls,
I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I will raise my hand and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold it in your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, and you heard my cry, and you raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone now, God. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the Lord who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am and every tear I've cried, you hold it in your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. You want to know what to do in a nation that's in a nimbus? Ask God to move in love and faithfulness so that others will see Him in this nimbus. You want to know what to do? Don't let the words of this world place doubt in your soul. Our God reigns. You want to know what to do? Remember that the nimbus has not got God off His game plan. You want to know what to do? Every day, get up and choose the living God over the dead and deaf and mute gods of this world. You want to do? Invite others to trust God with you. You want to know what to do? Be bold in seeking a blessing from God. You want to know what to do? Praise the Lord in the storm, in the nimbus. And then if He leads you to First, Second Amendment, have at it. Let's take the seven first. And watch what God does in a nation in nimbus. Stand with me today. God, I thank you for these moments together, and I thank you for, while this storm that's in our nation has literally got me off my game plan sometimes, it got me off my rocker sometimes, it did not you, it is not you. So I thank you for that, God. I pray that you would find a faithful people here that will move forward in Psalm 115, this nimbus in our nation. That we will hit this nation's nimbus with a Psalm 115 like it's never been hit before. And we'll watch you from the inside out. We'll watch you do what you pleases you. We will watch you do what a living God does. And we will start to praise you now for what you're doing in and through each one of us. God, I ask again, may you find a people here that will Psalm 115 this nimbus in our nation. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.